Welcome to this week's podcast. My name is Dylan Gallagher, and I'm the host of this podcast. I'm a finance guy and an entrepreneur, having run a business since 2001, my own business. I've got lots of opinions about what it means to be an entrepreneur, a small business owner, and in particular, I'm very familiar with the finance-related issues that most businesses face. So every week, I put this podcast together to try and share my thoughts and opinions on things that I find interesting or things that are happening this week that I think you, the audience, might want to learn about. I've got a passion for entrepreneurs and small business. I also, from time to time, like putting small stones in people's shoes by giving them something to think about, which can be a blessing and a curse. But my hopes would be in the next couple of minutes that you would find this interesting if you're an entrepreneur or a business owner, and that you'd walk away with some new ideas on how your business might be able to do more. So why don't we get started with this week's show? There's three things I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about legal problems. What do you do when you get sued? I'll share with you a recent experience that I had with someone that is very close to me and was able to guide them and give them some direction on what they needed to do, with positive results coming out of the other end. We'll talk a little bit about technology. I've been racking my brain because we've been converting our CRM systems to a Microsoft product, and I'm reminded that technology is still not perfect, but what can we learn from the experience? I'm going to teach you a little bit about that. And lastly, I was sitting with a business this morning, as a matter of fact, and we were going through their financial statements because utilizing our platform, emilynow.ca, they're about to send a $900,000 deal to market, and they wanted to make sure they had everything put together. So let's get started with legal problems. Good friend of mine called me up about 3 weeks ago and said, geez, Dylan, you're never going to believe what's happened, but I've been sued. In fact, five of my competitors have gotten together and have sued me over unfair business practices. It's a nebulous lawsuit, but nonetheless, I have to go ahead and defend myself. And man, I just feel like I'm getting attacked from all sides, and I'm not really sure what the top from the bottom is. And what do you think? So over the years, I've been a part of many different legal proceedings, and what I've learned about the court system, certainly here in Canada, is that it's not necessarily about right or wrong. In my experience, certainly when it comes to corporate business law issues, etc., it tends to be who can outmaneuver the other person, who can move quicker, who is more aggressive, and usually that individual or that side, if you will, tends to come out ahead. So in the case of this friend of mine, these five lawsuits were really starting to crowd what he was doing every day. He was starting to lose focus, and I kind of gave him, as we were talking about it, the illustration came up of children in a sandbox. And I said to him, I said, you know, you've done a pretty good job of getting inside of the sandbox. The market for this particular product that you offer is very crowded. Lots of people in the sandbox, but over time you've been able to figure out how to get into the sandbox, and not only that, you've figured out how to do it in an innovative and disruptive way, which the other kids in the sandbox really don't like, and they want to come over and get what it is you have. And the example we were using was a shovel. And so I said to him, I said, you know, what you've got to figure out how to do is you've got to figure out how to give them the shovel, because ultimately the shovel's not worth hanging on to. There's always another shovel. There's always a better shovel. There's always something different that you can be doing with your business. So find a way to give them what it is they want, but find a way to get yourself out of the sandbox and charge the kids for being inside the sandbox, something akin to taking a kid's lunch money from a strategy perspective, meaning instead of playing defense, figure out a way to start playing offense. This particular individual is a very creative person and was able to make a very successful business from literally less than $1,000. And so from a capabilities perspective, this friend of mine had the ability to do something very disruptive. And so believe it or not, he ended up calling me back a couple of days ago, and he says, Dylan, I'm just so grateful that you gave me the opportunity to talk about what I was nervous about, talk about what I was scared about, and then took all the smoke away and helped me understand what I needed to focus on. He says, as it turns out, I ended up going over the last week, I've gone to these five individuals that have sued me, and I've said to them, look, I'm going to let you use our product. In fact, I'm going to let you use it for a year for free, but just so you know, Over the next 12 months, I'm going to be working to make sure that every one of our collective competitors has the access to use this tool. So you can use it now. We're going to continue to improve it and make it better for the industry as a whole. And if you'd still like to get all of our trade secrets and get access to this unique way of doing business, I'd love to give it to you. You've got a year free, but we've got to settle these lawsuits and move on. And sure enough, that happened. So it was kind of neat because in my experience, again, it doesn't always have to do with right and wrong. It tends to do with strategy, first mover advantage, and those sorts of things. So if you find yourself in a lawsuit and you find that you're not getting the progress or the traction that you'd like to get, you're not getting the progress, or you're not seeing the progress you'd like to see, just stand back for a minute. And you know, much like when you're kids and you're maybe scared of something in the closet, like the boogeyman, for example, the easiest thing that your parents did was they opened up the door, they showed you there was no boogeyman there, and presumably you were able to fall back asleep. Well, when it comes to issues of law, if you know you've done nothing wrong, if you've got people that are pursuing you for silly reasons that are really just meant to drain you of your time and your energy, it's helpful sometimes to stand back, analyze the situation, and say to yourself, what really is going on here? What do I need to address? Instead of just defending myself against all of the various things that are coming across my plate, how do I really understand what's behind it? In the case of my friend, what was behind it was his competitors wanted access to a proprietary way in which he was doing business. And so what they did is they attacked that proprietary way he was doing business and suggested that it was simply unfair business practice. And so he ended up saying, you know what, the thing that makes us unique is not this particular product or this technology that we're using. He says, what makes us unique is that we deliver outstanding service. Our clients love us. And so even if I was to give this technology to the other competitors that I'm up against in the marketplace, they probably would not be able to use it as well as I can. So you know what? I'm going to give it to them. In fact, because of this lawsuit, I'm going to go one step further. I'm going to let everybody in our industry use it. I'm going to charge them a small fee for doing so. And at the end of the day, our company simply has to be the best provider. And if we're not, then that means we've got to get better. So maybe that would encourage you today if you're an entrepreneur or a business owner facing the same situation where somebody's come after you, they've sued you, maybe an ex-business partner, maybe a competitor, or maybe something else has arisen. But just take a minute to understand what's really going on. Figure out if you can just simply give them what it is they want, but as a result of doing that, can your business be better? Can you make a change to your business that really would get you to the next level? So there's that saying, some people can make lemonade from lemons, and that's certainly what I believe happens when people end up going to court, that the people that come out on top from a defensive position are usually the ones that can figure out how to maneuver through with a clean strategy and ultimately get what they want, but also give the other side what they want. It's interesting because this segues directly into the next topic I wanted to spend a couple minutes on, which is technology. And I'm a bit of a tech guy. You know, I've got an iPhone, I know how to program, build websites, I get kind of how technology works. I'm not an expert, but enough to know that I can handle myself. And recently, I've spent the last couple of weeks transitioning our sales teams over to the Microsoft Dynamics CRM system. And we moved from Salesforce to Microsoft. Salesforce, I found, was just too limited. I wasn't really happy with the lack of service that was available. And so as we got implementing Microsoft, true to form, the product is very technical. It's got so much functionality that you'd never probably find your way through it all. But I picked up the telephone. I called the 1-800 support line, expecting to be on hold for a day and a half to get help with what I needed. And I am not even kidding you. In less than 2 minutes, I had a technician on the phone with me who spent the next couple of hours walking me through the problem that I had. In fact, there was some work I had to do in order to try and troubleshoot this problem we were having. So this particular individual waited on the phone with me probably for 20 minutes, half an hour, while I attempted to sort through this problem. They took over control of my screen so they could see what I was doing, but just totally blown away. This morning I had to call them again because we were experiencing a small problem that I thought they might be able to help us with. And again, same thing, the service was unbelievable. So Much like I just finished saying with, you know, my friend who had a legal problem, he just decided that ultimately we've got to be better at servicing customers than the rest of our competitors if we want to continue to be profitable. I saw that same lesson being applied when I was dealing with Microsoft. My expectation was that it was going to be a miserable experience. It was technology related. I had to call them. I didn't have a choice, but you know what? They absolutely crushed it. The customer service people at Microsoft were just a cut above. I mean, I can't say enough about it. In both instances, when I called, of course, I was sent follow-up surveys. One of the managers came on the line and talked to me, and I just said, I'm amazed that you guys have done such an amazing job. But again, service, service, service. Microsoft is a very old company by definition of what companies are today. And it's interesting to watch how they've evolved. But if the level of service that I receive today is consistent across the rest of their products and services, you know, we might be in for a new Microsoft, which is pretty cool. So technology is annoying. Technology is frustrating. I think there's probably lots of entrepreneurs and business owners that would agree with me that you can just waste so much time on technology. They're like dark holes. But I'm happy to say that today I saw how providing amazing customer service really not only increased my experience that I had, but now I'm ranting and raving about Microsoft. And maybe in your business, there's opportunities for you to crush it as well, where you can provide an outstanding level of service to your customers and in turn have them talking about your business the way I've been talking about Microsoft. I'm going to switch tracks a little bit here, only because I was sitting with a client this morning. We've been working with them for the past couple of months, attempting to help them put some financing together. They're a manufacturing company. They manufacture a pretty unique product. They're relatively new, but they've put into their business a significant amount of equity, tremendous amount of time, and they really have a pretty good pipeline of new business that they want to tackle, but it's going to require some capital, and that's why they've engaged us through our emilynow.ca platform. So in sitting with their controller today, we were looking at their forecasts for the next couple of years. And before your eyes glaze over, before you press pause on the podcast and move on, I won't get technical in accounting terms, but the point is, I was sitting with the controller today. We were looking at the next couple of years of what they expect to do. And I was reminded that people still believe that banks and lenders are really scary places to go. We spent probably 20 minutes just going through the very basic things that this controller was concerned about as it related to approaching the banks. They wanted to make sure their T's were crossed and their I's were dotted. And at the end of the day, I said, look, banks and lenders have money, and we're going to help you get it. So our objective is to try and give banks and lenders the information that they want, the way that they want it, but ultimately you're going to get to engage with the bank, and as long as you know what they're looking for, then it's not a scary experience at all. Yeah, history has taught me that many small businesses and entrepreneurs won't approach the bank because if they have credit with that bank, they get nervous that if they say something wrong, that credit's going to be pulled. But secondly, they also feel like if they go and talk to that banker, they're not really sure of what that bank wants to see, why they want to see it. A business owner knows their product or their service really well. They tend not to know very much about finance, banks, lenders, cash, capital. Anything lumped into the dollar sign is not usually their strength. So sitting in front of a banker who only knows finance, money, capital, and everything involved in a dollar sign can be a very daunting experience. So the advice I gave to the controller today was, of course, we have an amazing platform. So I had said, use the platform, take advantage of all the tools that are there. But as we're sitting here, why don't we just go through some of these things? The bank wants to know, from a sales perspective, how are you going to drive your sales? At the end of the day, when you've paid all of your costs, how much money is left? And based on the amount of money that's left, do you have enough to pay for the debt that you're asking for? In this particular case, in the first couple of months, the answer to that question is no. The sales that they generate, less their expenses, will not leave enough cash left over because they're growing. They have to keep reinvesting their capital. However, after that those initial couple of months are over, the company does start to generate cash flow, and more than enough, in fact, to pay for the debt. So the controller was relieved to hear that they had options. She was looking at her business in a very one-dimensional way, which was I have this idea in my head that this is what the bank wants to see, so this is what I want to tell them. I came along and said, no, 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 just tell the bank exactly what's happening. Here are the parameters, because those are important to know, but tell the bank, how are you going to get your sales, what are your costs going to be, and how do you end up making money? And then the bank simply has to decide whether or not they believe you and whether or not your business is worth the risk. So she was relieved, but I share this story because as an entrepreneur or business owner, finance is something that you cannot procrastinate on. It's not a can that you can kick down the road, because if you choose to do that, you're just going to end up paying higher rates of interest, probably some pretty big fees, because there are groups of lenders out there. We refer to them as private lenders, but really double-digit money per year plus. So, you know, 12%, 20%, 30% a year plus money. You'll simply have to pay that just because you're not prepared and you're not ready. If you spend the time now, if you know you're going to need money, spend some time right now figuring out how you're going to be able to afford that money, how you're going to be able to repay it, and ultimately, what does your business need to do to make this financing work? And of course, selfishly, I would encourage you to visit our platform, emilynow.ca, where you can start to figure some of that out. But even if you choose not to use our platform, give a call to your accountant, the accountant that does your year end, and say, look, we're going to do $1 million of sales this year. Our expenses are going to be X, and we're only going to have this much money left over. What do I do with this? How do I make this better? How do I increase my margin? How do I make more money? Do I have to drop my price? Do I have to increase my price? Do I have to cut my costs? Do we have to maybe offer some add-on services to what we do? So there's lots of options you have if you don't like what your finances or your projections are telling you. But to not do it because you find that it's too technical or too boring shouldn't be an option for you if you're a business owner. That's the end of my podcast. I hope some of these things were helpful. I would encourage you to check out my website, dylangallagher.wordpress.com, where I also post blog entries about things that I find are interesting or maybe some things happening in the news. And if you'd like to connect, you can look me up on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube. I'm in all of those places and would love to hear from you if you're a business owner. If you've got questions, I'd love to answer them, and we'll check you out next time.